Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Weren't they awesome? Awesome shots. Photos, amazing stuff. Well, this morning we're coming to the end of a very long series of talks, messages, sermons taken from a Hebrew perspective. And before we go there, I just have this one little thing from my files to share. Chocolate is a vegetable. Chocolate is derived from cocoa beans. A bean, apparently, is a vegetable. Some would say it's a legume. But now, sugar is derived from either sugar cane or sugar beets. Both are plants, which makes them in the vegetable category. Thus, chocolate is a vegetable. To go one step further, chocolate candy bars also contain milk, which is dairy. So candy bars are both a health food. Mm-hmm. Chocolate-covered raisins, cherries, orange slices, strawberries all count as fruit. So eat as many as you want. If you've got melted chocolate all over your hands, you've eaten it too slowly. The problem, how to get 1 kilo of chocolate home from the grocery department, and the solution is eat it in the parking lot. Melts on the way. Diet tip, eat a chocolate bar before each meal. It'll take the edge off your appetite and you'll eat less. So if I eat equal amounts of dark chocolate and white chocolate, is that a balanced diet? Chocolate has many preservatives. Preservatives make you look younger. A nice box of chocolates can provide you a total daily intake of calories in one place. Now, isn't that handy? So I thought I'd leave that. Now, stressed, spelled backwards, equals desserts. So just in the food theme, and it's useless information again, I guess. Today, I want to share with you, just in this final of this series, about God's image stamped in dust. Now, if you've ever read Psalm 139, if you've ever been privileged to watch the birth of a child, if you've ever contemplated for any length of time the miracle of a child coming into the world, a baby, you know, they grow up to be children and adults, which changes things a little, but it's a pretty incredible thing. It really is quite something. So we're stamped in the image of God, and I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. Now, one day, while Jesus was teaching in Jerusalem to a crowd usually filled with his priestly opponents, they may have had a change of heart, or had they not. And as he finished the lesson, one of them put a hand up for a question to the esteemed rabbi. Should we pay taxes to Caesar? Now remember, Caesar considered himself deity. Now this is a loaded question. Should the Jewish community support a corrupt regime that oppressed them, opposed their true faith? You can almost see the sneers. This is a trap question. Pay the taxes and all the zealots are going to go for Jesus. Don't pay them and the Romans would be a little upset with everybody. You've got to pay your tax, right? Yes. Just say yes. Now Jesus replied, show me a denarius. And the priest fumbled in his tunic, produced a shiny coin. Oops, he just revealed his hypocrisy. Why? Because denarii were strictly forbidden in the temple. Not allowed. Because they bore Caesar's image, a blasphemous claim to be divine. And no graven image was allowed near the temple or in the temple. And so here is a situation where this priest is declaring his hypocrisy in that sense. He probably went a little bit red. But Jesus says to him these words. He said, whose image is on the coin? Caesar's, of course. And it's precisely that image that's forbidden in the temple courts. So if you had that image, you were honoring God, Caesar, by paying tribute to him. And essentially, if you pay taxes to him with that coin, you are honoring who he was and all that he stood for. Very big difficulty for people who lived in that time under Roman occupation. Huge difficulty in paying taxes. So the question was full. It was a loaded, loaded question. Then came the bombshell. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. Now, we've taken that we know that verse, don't we? Yeah, we know that verse. And we've taken that to mean something pretty straightforward. Well, you give your tithes and your offerings to God's work and God, yes, and you pay your taxes to the government, and that's kind of what that means. I believe that Jesus was saying something more, a whole lot more, in fact. What is God stamped with his image? Us. Us. He stamped us with his image. He created us in his image. Male and female are in his image. We are the handiwork of God. We bear his stamp. That's big. Because if you look at us, and this could sound a little bit like heresy, you're starting to look at what God is like. So Jesus was saying something a little bit more when he said, look, pay to Caesar his miserable coins, but pay to God tribute for who he is. That which is in the image of God. That's what was implied in his statement. God is God. So let what is stamped in his likeness be given back to him. And I think that for me, as I was studying and researching this, I thought, oh, I've never seen anything like that before in that statement. Render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, but give to God that which is God's. Did you know that bit was in there? And it wasn't just referring to some coin. Had nothing to do with money. I think we've got it all wrong. It's not about paying tithes. It's not about paying offerings. It's about giving ourselves who are stamped in the image of God. And let us conceive a new creation, humanity, made in our image, says God. This is from Genesis. Made in our image, fashioned according to our likeness. And let us grant them authority over all the earth, the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the domesticated animals and the small creeping creatures on the earth. Ah, we're given that dominion. And of course we gave that away, and we know that story pretty well. The early rabbis said, for a king mints many coins with a single seal, and they're all alike. But the King of Kings minted all human beings with that seal of his, with which he made the first person, yet not one of them is like anyone else. It's a big difference. We're stamped in the image of God, yet not one of us is the same. This is an incredible thing about God and about us. We're unique. We are God's coins, meant to be spent in his world, proclaiming his kingdom wherever we are circulated. So we're made in the image of God. Now, what does that mean, to be made in the image of God? How can the profound ideas within this whole thing capture our hearts again? Ephesians 4:24 says this, and I read from the translation of the Voice. Then you are ready to put on your new self, molded after the very likeness of God, truthful, righteous, and holy. Three things, way to live. Truthful, righteous, and whole. We're imitators, displaying his chesed, his compassion, his faithfulness to others, and so on. Christ chose to train his disciples, his disciples. He walked with them day after day. He let them live with him for 3 years, and they got to see him at work at play. Everything that he did. And as I've studied, they even watched as their rabbis went to the toilet so they could imitate everything. That sounds a little bit strange to our ears. But that's how close they wanted to be followers of their rabbis. They would imitate their rabbi in every way. Listen to 1 Corinthians 4:17. This is one of the reasons I sent Timothy to be with you. He is my dearly loved and faithful child in the Lord. His mission is to remind you of the way I experience life in the anointed. In all the churches everywhere I go, I teach the same lessons, the same way, and I live out these lessons, said Paul. He knew what it was to be like that. So we're stamped in the image of God. I mean, can I just stop for a moment? Because, you know, you've heard that, you know that. Could I ask us just to stop and think about that for a second? We're stamped in the image of God. I want to talk about an exceedingly ugly man. Within Jewish thinking, being made in the image of God carries some other implications. And here's a story is told of a famous 2nd century teacher, Rabbi Eliezer, I think is how you pronounce his name. But one day as his donkey ambled down a river path on its leisurely trip home from the study session, the rabbi's thoughts lingered back to the profound truths he had unearthed with his fellow Haverim, the study partners. He was still basking in the glow of victory, reveling in how he had pulled together three obscure passages to win a heated debate. Only his donkey heard the soft chuckles of self-congratulation. Or so he thought. And as he came round the bend, he almost collided with a bedraggled peasant, an exceedingly ugly man. The man's tattered clothes seemed almost too elegant for his malformed face, with bulbous eyes and nose to match. Recognizing the highly esteemed sage, the poor farmer bowed low with the traditional greeting, "Peace be upon you, Rabbi." And before he could help himself, Eliezer's disgust burst out. "Raha! How ugly! Is everyone in your village as ugly as you?" "I don't know," the peasant replied, "but go and tell the craftsman who made me how ugly is the vessel that you have made." Remorse overcame the rabbi, and from his donkey he fell to the ground, prostrated himself before the man. "I submit myself to you. Forgive me." The rabbi had forgotten that God himself is the man's creator and was truly humbled. To call this man ugly, whom God had made in his image, was to call God ugly. As I thought about this illustration, I'm guilty of calling God some names. Because I've disrespected other people that are made in the image of God. You know, we've got to know our worth. If there's one thing I'm learning in my older age, we've got to know who we are. I believe, and I continue to believe, that the Church of Jesus Christ struggles with our identity. We don't know who we are. We don't know what we carry. We don't recognize fully that we're made in the image of Almighty God. And the day of Pentecost reminds us again of the coming of the Spirit to the church to cause us to have the authority and the power to take His image everywhere. We are His image bearers, and to bring in the final harvest that God has prepared us for. So we're going to know our worth. Profound paradox. Though we're as insignificant as dust, we reflect the glory of God Himself. Adam's name reflects the fact that God had formed him from the dust, from the ground. And when he died, he would return to that same ground. And God blew his very breath into that dirt and caused him to live. One 18th century rabbi put it this way. A person should always carry two pieces of paper, one for each pocket. On one, write, "The world was created for my sake." On the other, "I am but dust and ashes." On days when we feel discouraged, we should read the first one. And on days when we are consumed with pride and our own self-importance, we should read the other. Often we struggle with knowing our worth, and we try to prove it in a strange way, by competition, by pride, putting others down, us first. Or on the other hand, which is a Jewish way of thinking, we might think that humility is seeing ourselves as useless, untalented, insignificant. I'm not worthy of much. I've heard us as Christ followers at times, I'm not saying here, but generally speaking, say, "Well, I'm a worm. I'm but dust." Yes, you are. But God breathed into that dust his very breath and formed us. And we became a person after his image. God's idea of humility, by the way, is to realize that each of us is very precious in his sight. Everyone he has created. The dignity of every person is not made up of achievements, virtues, special talents. It's inherent in who we are. Your worth is because God put his image on you. That's so, but it's also true that God put his image on every other human being, even the ones we don't like, even the ones we don't get on with, even the ugly ones. Even the pretty people of the world, God's image is stamped on. God's image is stamped on criminals, terrorists, murderers. Can you get that? I can't. Something within me wants to say, no, that's not what God is like. Oh, we know that sin has entered into the world. That's the story there. But it's the dignity of our humanness stamped in the image of God. It's a palace of flames. Dust, worthless dust, dirt. You scrape it off your gumboots. Yet God squeezed together some soil, blew his breath into it, and formed a noble being to rule and reign over the rest of his creation. Our present world is a mess. Doesn't reflect the dignity of who we are, our worth. And as Heschel puts it, the world is a palace of flames, consumed by evil. And we know that. But God's image is stamped in dust. Render to Caesar that which is Caesar's. Give him the coin, man. But render to God that which is God. Give him that which is in his image. Give it back to him. Because this world is in a mess, a palace of flames, as Heschel points out, there's a rescuer who has come. And I'd like us to either sing or watch and listen. This is just a happy clappy song. It's a feel-good song. But the truth of it is awesome. A rescuer has come. And it wasn't just the cross. It was also, it's okay, Joe, carry on. It's also the work of the Spirit as we remember on this day. So let's stand and sing this. We are free from sin. thank you for the awesome fact that we were created in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the earth. Lord, before anything came into being, you had us in mind. We were being created, we've been made, we've been fashioned. And in our mother's womb, we were knit together. And in the amazing, amazing thing of birth, of a child coming into the world, we thank God that there's an amazing fact along with that. That there is an incarnation, there is a coming to the earth, to be born in a mother's womb, to be fashioned there and be born. And his name was Jesus, a rescuer. So we might be restored to an understanding and a mission and a commission, and to be empowered again as your image bearers on the earth. So Lord, cause us to be a people that rise up again with great understanding of who we are and what we carry, and why it is that we are who we are, and why we carry what we carry. And in Jesus' name I pray this. And the people of God together said, Amen. Amen. My benediction for you this week. Go with understanding of who you really are. Go with understanding. God bless you.